It is now 6:19, and the ordinance committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on August 21st, 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We have two in favor and one abstention. She wasn't on the committee then, so it passes. The first item on the calendar is PCO 19-23, an ordinance prohibiting the delivery of tobacco products to persons under 21 years of age. Councilman Sinapi?
Mr. Chairman, I can speak on his behalf. Thank you. Councilman Sinapi drafted this along with the, this was a recommendation and a request from the police department to raise it to the age 21. That is what the state does. So this will put us in on the same level as the state, and then they are able to ticket any violations on this to municipal court. At this time, they said they're unable to do that. So this is a request from the police department, sponsored by Councilman Sinapi, and he asked me if the committee would consider favorable action. Thank you.
Any questions? Councilman Ricks?
I'll just briefly say that it makes sense to me that we should keep our local ordinances in conformance with state law and allow our police officers to enforce the state law the same as in any other area, and really allowing these violations to go to the municipal court, it's a lot less hassle for the alleged offender as well, generally speaking, compared to the alternative of having to send them up to the district court. So I have no objection to this.
Councilman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to thank Councilman Sinapi for doing this. I think this is a great idea. This is what we should be doing. We should have done it before. But bring the age up to 21 in municipal court, that's perfect. So hopefully we will pan out and it will do good.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. This item has some special meaning to me for a couple of reasons, actually. And I'm just going to put it out there now. I'm sure that I'll need to wait until second passage, but I'm going to request Councilman Sinapi allow me to be a co-sponsor on this. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, comments from the council? Hearing none. Any comments or questions from the public?
But if we have a state law that covers the same thing, why do we need a city ordinance? Thank you for your answer.
This would allow the police department, the Warwick Police Department, to issue these citations.
Through the chair, if I may?
Yes.
To elaborate on the council president's answer, as opposed to a situation where it's necessary for the state police to be called to perform the arrest or the like, the Warwick police would be able to do that. And similarly, instead of the alleged offender having to appear in front of the district court, they could appear in the municipal court, which the scheduling of the municipal court tending to be in the evenings, as opposed to the district court where people have to show up at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m. Typically the scheduling and the convenience is a little more favorable in the municipal court. Municipal court has a lighter docket. So generally, well, if I were cited with a ticket, I'd probably prefer to be in the municipal court rather than have to show up during more typical work hours in the district court.
So, Any other comments from the public?
Good evening, members of the committee and those who are here tonight. Michael Zarum, resident in Ward 2. First, thanks for putting this forward. This is something I follow for quite a while. And of course, the regulations, the laws and whatnot have been changing at both municipal, state and federal levels. And I just had a few questions. Is there anything in this proposed local ordinance that is stricter than what is in the current state regulation is the first question.
Mr. Chairman.
If you're not sure, that's an acceptable answer too.
And we defer to the council solicitor for that.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you. Chairman. The effort brought forth here this evening is to essentially maintain the current structure of how these violations have been dealt with over the years, but to align the city's existing ordinance with the change that occurred at the General Assembly 2 years ago, or roughly 2 years ago, when they raised the threshold for the purchasing and the violations from age 18 to 21. So this is to address everything that we dealt with in the same process, but to align our standard to be the same as what state law now says. If we don't do this, we're in a weird gap where the city is unable to address the violations that occur if someone is between the age of 18 and 21. It would maintain for someone who's below it, but we wouldn't be able to address it through the same process that has been familiar to the residents.
Okay. I guess my next question would be, is this going to be I mean, it seems pretty popular. I mean, I am not a substance user, but I've seen in my travels quite a bit of people smoking cannabis in public, either at bus stops and places in Kennedy Plaza. Fortunately, not much in Warwick, but other places. And I guess I'm wondering with that, is this potentially going to put an excess burden on our municipal court and the calendar that they already have to maintain? Is there going to be an overburden on them that would better be handled at the state level, given the current docket's usually pretty busy for municipal court?
Mr. Chairman? So the ordinance before us this evening is dealing specifically with tobacco and just the age change and some terminology related to what is delivery. There is a separate item on the agenda later this evening for potential consideration under unanimous consent, which has to do with the regulation of smoking or vaporizing of cannabis in public places. And that is something that the council addressed at a prior meeting, which may be considered later this evening. We'll find out under unanimous consent to advance a regulatory structure for specifically smoking and vaporizing cannabis in public. So
thank you.
Two separate items dealing with similar issues and just different sections of the ordinances.
So thank you. And my final question is, what happens if there's an alleged infraction by, say, a Warwick officer and the person has a prior record that may demand that, I guess in some cases, would it be a misdemeanor? Would it be a felony? And in some cases, would it be a felony as a repeat offender and have to go to state, either district or superior? And how would that be handled through the new law?
Mr. Chairman?
Oh, especially a case like that too, if it is a felony, then what would happen if somebody cannot afford counsel and they would need a public defender? And it's
the penalty,
depending on the venue.
The penalty provisions are not changing here. This is aligning it maintains the current general penalties of the Code of Ordinances, which is similar to misdemeanor levels of not to exceed $500 in fines, not to exceed 30 days imprisonment. But the discretion is still housed by the municipal court.
And at the time an infraction is issued, what happens if they're a repeat offender?
the ordinances in front of us do not speak to that type of situation, so it would maintain to have the discretion of the municipal court.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Mr. Chairman.
Councilman Lattison.
Yes, thank you. So some good discussion on this, and a good question by a member of the public. If I may, through the chair to the solicitor, does the state law stipulate Superior Court, or does it speak to municipal court? And not knowing what the answer is, if it is Superior Court on the state, can we reduce that down to municipal court here without having to go through the General Assembly?
So we are maintaining the current process. So currently the city has the authority that has been granted to municipalities, subject to these municipalities having ordinances that speak to the violation. So we're not changing that. We have previously been granted this in statute, either, I'm not specific if it was general or specific to Warwick. I believe it was general to municipalities should they wish to enact these ordinances, which we have. So the only change here is giving us the additional bandwidth to address violations when someone is between aged 18 and 21. All the existing processes and standards that has been given to the municipality and maintained in that same way.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Chairman.
Okay, I'd like to add Councilman Lattiser and Councilwoman Travis as co-sponsors to this ordinance. Any other questions? Okay. Do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It is now 6:31, and the ordinance committee is in recess.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee is the Public Safety Committee, which can take place at this time.
Good evening. Public Safety Committee comes to order at 6:31. First order of business is acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on August 21st. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, at this time, I just wanted to point out a clerical error for the committee to consider amending the docket. If you look at item number one, it is listed as PCR 9823. This was a clerical error. All the other documents are appropriately posted and recognized as item 9723. So if the committee would consider amending the docket to correct that typo by changing 98 to be 97.
Okay. So do we need an amendment or motion?
It's a simple motion to amend and fix the clerical error to change 98 to 97 on the council agenda.
Okay. Oh, all right. So do we have a motion for that amendment?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Solicitor, I'm looking at PCR 9723. That's the one for Heather Kendrick. Am I correct? Is that what you're looking at?
Yes, it is correct on that sheet. It is the mistake okay. Was amending the other docket.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So the first claim in front of the committee is Heather Kendra, and the recommendation is to approve. I would like to make a statement first. I noticed that it was missing the police report. However, if we look through your documents, the woman, I assume Heather, was sent a letter telling her that her, back on May 3rd, that her her claim could not be processed for the following reasons, that she was missing some paperwork. Nowhere in that letter does it mention she's missing a police report. She gave all the documentation she was asked, and the department recommends awarding an amount of $300. So that's the statement. Do we have any other comments from members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
It seems that the documentation that was provided shows that she not only timely reported it, but timely documented when the incident happened. So I think that more than suffices, since that serves the same purpose as a police report. We don't necessarily expect people to call up the police every time that they hit a pothole that may result in them having a pothole claim. So long as they're able to demonstrate that they hit the pothole on the day that they claim that they hit that pothole that they're seeking compensation for. Similarly, to the chair, I looked through this packet and it seems that everything is in order. So I'll hold off on a motion until we finish with all of the comments.
Thank you. Any other comments from the committee? Comments from the council? Councilman Latter, sir.
Yes, correctly. We have two letters here from the city to the claimant. One is dated May 3rd that gives specific instructions. And then a second letter on May 18th giving an individual request again. I don't get why two letters are sent out saying two different things. It just confuses the public when these kind of things occur. And it's not just this particular item. It's just statewide and part of government. It seems as though, you know, the taxpayers and members of the public, you know, you keep piecemealing these things. Well, oh, by the way, you need this. And, oh, thank you. I forgot to tell you, you need this. That's craziness. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The next item is the claim for Sharon Lovett. The recommendation on this is to deny. Is there anyone in the public? Any comments from the committee? Any comments from the council? Any comments from the public? We don't have the, is this side in here? No. Could you please identify yourself and then make
Sharon
comment?
Lovett.
Yes, and what would you like to say, ma'am?
I hit a pothole. I even have a picture of it. I was coming out of Stop and Shop on Cohasset, and it was more like a crater than just a pothole. So I went to the police department and let them know that my car wasn't running correctly, and that's when I filled out the police report and got information from the city as to what procedures I had to take.
And you're saying you did notify the police department?
Yes, I did. I have a police report and they said I needed three
estimates.
And I did everything they called for except for the picture, which I have on my phone if you need to see it. It was quite extensive. My husband also hit the same pothole.
Can you get the picture? You've seen, Can you check for us?
They did fill it in. Thank goodness they filled
it in. One moment. We usually have a sergeant of arms who would take your phone and show it to you. I'm going to ask Councilman Ricks to go verify.
If I may, please, thank you. And I would also ask, when you return, what date the photo was taken. Yeah, that looks like a pothole to me. Let's see, any other photos, or is this the one photo?
I know.
Oh. And let's see, what date was the photo taken? taken on July 26. Let's see. And okay, it doesn't show any other details. Sometimes it includes the geolocation because it's a close up of the pothole. I can't identify. And the mic is good.
Thank you, Councilman.
After I hit the pothole, I went into Stop and Shop where I was shopping, and I got a manager because I actually thought it was the Stop and Shop parking lot that was responsible for it. And that's when he came out, he took pictures, and he said, no, actually, this is the city of Warwick.
Thank you. I have a question for you. Is it Ms. Lovett? May I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now I forgot my question to you. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Do we have any other comments from the committee? Comments?
Let's see. I'll follow up briefly.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. What prompted you to return on July 26 to take the photo at that time?
I think she already said that she was told that she needed documentation from the city.
It was the actual same date.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Oh, quite all right. So when was it that you initially had contacted the city?
Yes, I did.
Oh, pardon me. I couldn't quite hear.
You want to know the date when I contacted the city?
Yes.
I believe it was the following day. Yes, it was a day or two after. I don't have all the dates with me because I thought it was in with my file that was in City Clerk's office.
Oh, thank you. And I can understand that. I'm just trying to understand the timeline because I saw that the photo was taken on July 26th and then the police report on July 27th following the date of incident of July 24th, but then I see the paperwork submitted to the city on July 31st, and
still within a week.
Let's see. And I believe that the estimates were also from July 27th. So I'm not sure if, let's see, when you contacted the city originally, was that, how did you contact the city? Was it by email or?
I actually went to the city office. They gave me all the information. I took it home. I filled it out, and I think I brought it back. I don't have all the dates because I don't have the file with me.
Okay. And let's see. Yeah, I've unfortunately, Councilman Sinapi and Councilman Gebhardt aren't present. I know that this particular street is in more of their neck of the woods of the city. So I'll defer my comments for a moment. I'll defer to the chair.
Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Any other comments from the public? Any other comments from the public? Ms. Lovett, if you could step aside for a moment.
Ann Sheridan, and I live in that area. And I noticed your original comment earlier was that you were proposing to deny this request. I find it very difficult to think that a taxpayer, a resident, would come forward with a claim that's not true and honest. I mean, the road is very bad. We had last council session, we had a woman complaining about the trash being left out in the middle of the road and that section being very difficult to maneuver. So I'm just saying that, you know, I think her claim for $300 to reimburse her for a tire should be supported. Thank you.
Through the chair, if I may, Ms. Sheridan.
Ms. Sheridan.
So,
Councilman Ricks has a question for you.
So Cohesit Road, over by the Stop and Shop, fair to say that it probably had some pretty bad potholes in late July?
I would say so.
Okay. Yeah, this is the sort of question that, unfortunately, I know that a couple of the council members weren't able to be present this evening. And this is one of those questions where when I'm viewing a picture, what really helps I'm sorry, no further questions. I don't mean to put you on the spot. And thank you for your answer.
I put you on the spot a few times.
As someone with a lot of credibility who lives in the area and is well familiar with that road, I really appreciate you being able to step up and answer a question, but I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Thank you. Anything else, Councilman?
Just a general comment that for anybody listening, who may put in a claim in the future, it really is helpful when taking photos to take a photo at the time that the damage happens. And also, while it's a good thing to take a photo close up to demonstrate that, you know, what the pothole looks like close up, it's also helpful to have more of a framing shot so that it's clear what road the photo was taken on. One can also call the police, although I have a police report done at the time, although I certainly wouldn't say that that's necessary either. But based on what I've heard and having a general knowledge that Cohesit Road isn't in the best condition and hearing from Ann Sheridan, who is very credible and let us know that, yes, Cohesit Road was in pretty bad condition, had some potholes in that general area in the month of July, it seems to me that that's enough information for me to disagree with the DPW opinion here that the DPW is saying that the city is not negligent for damage caused by potholes, by a pothole of that nature. As I see it, the city should have these potholes taken care of by the month of July. These potholes don't typically pop up in the month of July. We all know that that road is in pretty bad condition in general. So I think that the claimant is credible coming forward, although I would have generally preferred a little bit more in terms of the evidence. I find that the claimant is credible in stating that she did in fact hit this pothole on that particular day. The estimates are provided, all seems to be in order there. And so I would be willing to make a motion for favorable action in the amount of the lowest of the three estimates. I would defer to the chair.
Thank you. My last question, any other comments from the public? please identify yourself and then make your comment, sir?
Yes, my name is Dan Kelly, and I hit the same pothole. As a matter of fact, my wife was with me, and I just had like $3,500 worth of repairs done to my car, new tires and everything else. And she said, oh my God. And I hit this thing, and I thought I fell into a crater. I couldn't believe it. And now my car still isn't right from it, but I didn't take the action that she did, though.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your information.
Okay, thank you.
Any other comments from the public? Any other comments from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $240.54.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Last item is PCR 95-23, a resolution regards to erecting a stop sign at the intersection of Tyler Street and Jefferson Street to create a four-way stop. That's me, Councilman Foley. We did have a traffic study that supported this, so I will be making a motion in favor. Are there any comments from the council? I mean, the committee? Council? Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The committee adjourns at 6:50.
Mr. Chairman, there were another set of amendments to approve.
Oh, that's PCR?
No, just the other minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you can move.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I meant to do that, too. We need acceptance of the minutes from the August 21st, 2023 meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
We done now?
Thank you. 6:51. Adjourned.
Thank you. The next committee to meet is the Appointments Committee, and this is the last committee to meet, and then we will start the council meeting. Thank you.
And the Appointments Committee is called to order. First item is the Historical District Commission, a Gary Feltus. Is Gary here? Gary, come on down. Hello, Gary. Would you just identify yourself for the record, please?
Gary Feltus, 15 Central Street, Warwick.
Okay, thank you. So, Gary, what strikes your interest in serving on the Historic District Commission?
We live in a historic district. We're invested in the community. Prior to coming to Warwick, we were involved in historic renovation of a home, a business. We were involved in historic activities in the communities where we lived. So I heard there was a vacancy, and I've been attending community meetings, and there's been a lot of confusion and even some anger about what goes on with the Historic Commission. And I just thought that I might be able to be an advocate for the community, as well as respecting you know, what the committee wants to accomplish.
Well, I can say this, that as a contractor, I certainly understand the comments of frustration, and it can be. But I'm really happy to hear and read that you have actually hands-on experience in refurbishing some of these historical homes and structures. So you get a really good sense as to what is involved in the history behind it, and equally important, how to get these things done within the scope and the guidelines of the historical values.
No, thank you. I mean, and I'm also really fascinated by the mill villages that exists throughout New England, and I'd like to do as much as I can to focus on that.
Good. Well, thank you for volunteering to serve. I know it can be very time consuming, and it's not everyone that wants to do this or has the time to do it. So we appreciate you volunteering to do that.
Well, thank you.
Councilwoman Travis, do you have anything?
Well, we have, you know, really a very interested committee. When you read more and more about the historical, you know, I've been to a lot of the historical cemeteries, but I also heard a lot of the historical district stuff. So I know where it's kind of fascinating because you'll learn about the past and some of the things, and we want to restore it and, you know, keep it so people, especially the young people, so they'll know some history about where they live. So I really want to thank you for coming forward. I think it's going to be a good fit for you. It seems like you know a lot already, so you'll be bringing more, you know, information to Warwick. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Questions or comments from members of the council?
Behind you.
Any? Council President.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Councilman Snappy wasn't able to attend this evening, but I know he is in favor of this as well, as he's the councilman from Ward 8. And I'm excited to see someone on this side of the city being on the Historic District Commission. As you mentioned, the mill in your area, it's very important, and you have an impact on the entire city. So it's a lot of Ward 1 people on that committee, so it's good to get someone on our side of the city as well with your experience. So thank you very much. And this is a very important commission. So we appreciate you volunteering your time to serve our city. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any other comments from members of the council? Any comments from members of the public? Do we have any comments from members of the public?
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
One clerical issue, and the chief is here to speak as well. So if we could, the committee would be able to entertain at the appropriate time an amendment to change which open seat is being replaced here. And I'll defer to you for recognition of the chief to address the issue.
Seeing as we have no other members of the public, chief, just identify yourself for the record, please.
Sure. Aaron McAsee, Mayor's Chief of Staff. There's a clerical error on the form from the mayor's office where it says Vice Barry O'Brien. It should say Vice Carol Pratt. And thank you again to Mr. Feltus for stepping up and serving on this commission. It's a difficult one to find passionate members to fill these seats, especially about historic preservation in the district. So we thank him.
Thank you, Chief. So the amendment that we need to do is to just change the name of the vice, which was Barry O'Brien, to Carol Pratt. That is the amendment. And I will move favorable action. Second. We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now I will move favorable action on the appointment of Gary Feltus to the Historical District Commission.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
And the next item is the Land Trust Commission. Is Elizabeth Colt here? Good evening. Could you just identify yourself for the record, please?
Elizabeth Colt, 27 Commonwealth Avenue.
Thank you, Elizabeth. So tell us why you have an interest in serving on the Land Trust Commission.
I have lived in Rhode Island, and I've lived in Warwick most of my life and have enjoyed many of its natural resources. And I would like to participate in making decisions or recommendations about preserving them, educating the public further about them. I honestly did not even know the Land Trust existed until relatively recently, and allowing access in a responsible way to those resources, particularly the coastline, I think.
Very good. Well, thank you for your willingness to volunteer to serve on this commission. Certainly is a very important commission, and I also happened to notice that you were sitting in some very responsible company, and I was just wondering if Ms. Austin had anything to add to this. I'd point out that Mrs. Austin is from Ward 5, by the way. Not that I'm partial.
We won't hold that against her.
Thank you. Yes, Jane Austin from 26 Narragansett Bay Avenue. On behalf of the Land Trust, we are very pleased to put forward a recommendation to the council for Elizabeth Colt. She brings, as she mentioned, a lot of history and knowledge about the city of Warwick. I think her professional background as a professor of law and as a nonprofit manager and in a range of other organizations will serve us well. And so we're very pleased to recommend that the council bring her on.
Thank you. And thank you for your service as well on the commission. Next, just identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening. For the record, Michael Sarum, a resident in Ward 2, also a longtime member of the Warwick Land Trust and proud to serve on that commission. And I want to thank you for putting this forward on the agenda tonight. And I want to thank Liz Cole for being here also for Chairman Jane's. I'd like to echo what Jane Austin commented, and I'll be very brief. I support Liz Colt's appointment this evening. She brings some very unique skills, which we don't have on the Land Trust now, and that would be welcome. She's also attended several meetings as a public member and fits in very, very well. And with that, I would just offer my support and ask for your real action and that we move forward on this. So she'll be a regular member, I should say, at-large member. Thank you.
Thank you. I kind of got ahead of myself with public comment here. I apologize. Councilwoman Travis, you have anything to add?
I'd like to welcome her to the Land Trust, and it's a very important committee, and we hear a lot of great things coming out of there, you know, so I look forward to working with you, and you'll always enjoy working with Jane.
Thank you, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, would you like to make a motion on that, please?
I make a motion.
A councilman.
Oh, sorry, Council President.
Oh, Jeremy.
Jeremy, sorry. Councilman Ricks, I didn't see you out of my peripheral vision here. I apologize, sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd just like to congratulate you and thank you for stepping up and for your service. Gosh, it's hard to believe it's been about 10 years since I've been in your classroom. But I remember you well as a professor, and I have full confidence that the Land Trust is in good hands. And yeah, this is one of these commissions that it really needs good people like yourself to step up. It's a lot of work. We have some great people on the Land Trust, but it's a mission that really takes a team effort, and the Land Trust really does make a great difference here in Warwick. So thank you.
And thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Councilman.
And thank you to Jane Austin for recruiting me, so to speak.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the council? Any comments from the members of the council? Do we have any additional comments from members of the public? Council President? You all set?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good, good. Okay, we have a motion. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome, Ms. Colt. Thank you.
Thank you.
With that said, the appointments committee is adjourned at 7:03.
Thank you very much. We're going to start the council meeting at this time. We're going to do roll call, salute to the flag, and then we're going to move into executive session of the council. So I'm just going to ask, once I get the okay from the clerk and the solicitor, we will open the full council meeting. Good evening, everyone. I call the September 6, 2023 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Here. Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Seven present.
Thank you. At this time, Councilman Howe, will you introduce our guests who are going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the distinct pleasure and honor of introducing Jeff Nelson and Peter Leon from Palmer Industries, a Warwick-based company that is specializes, and I'll leave that speech to you, but they're expanding and definitely doing great things. And so, and then we'll go into everything after the pledge. Thank you, Mr. President.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
No. Thank you very much for leading us in the pledge, and we'd love to tell us about your business. And
yeah, so my name is Jeff Nelson. I'm the president and CEO of Palmer Industries. We're located at 71 Cypress Street in Warwick. We manufacture metal furniture, custom architectural metals, mostly out of solid brass, and we sell it all over the country. We sell to wholesale to boutique bath showrooms, kitchen design showrooms, and we also sell direct to the public, the end user, builders, architects, interior designers. And we moved to Warwick 2.5 years ago, and we were previously in North Providence. We have 13 employees and 3,500 square feet tucked away in a little shack, we call it. We were fortunate enough to find a piece of property in Cypress, which is 10,000 square feet, and we now have 2.5 years later close to 50 employees. So we've been growing tremendously, it feels like, and we're really appreciative to the city. It's very welcoming to you know, handle business here compared to our previous home. We're planning a renovation to our building to add an additional 10 or 15 jobs. I'm purchasing another building on Maple Street to bring some more jobs from Providence and an operation we still have there, bring them here to Warwick, closer to us, which will add another maybe 20 more jobs. So, and that's it. We have this, you want to just talk about the award? Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you so much. Jeff is referring to the reason why I invited Jeff, Peter from Palmer Industries here is we reached out from a constituent of Warwick whose husband works for their company. The constituent, Sienna, is a member of the United States Navy Reserve JAG team. So she's works for the legal team of the United States Navy. Her schedule, as you can imagine, is sporadic and unknown. And she and her husband have gone with two young children, have required a lot of time where that has interfered with her husband's time at the job. She couldn't say enough about how accommodating Palmer Industries were, to the point where they were recognized by the Rhode Island National Guard, which oversees the Naval JAG office. They were recognized. Palmer Industries, Jeff in particular, but also Peter, a veteran, were recognized for always accommodating the husband of this Navy member who deploys with young children so he can accommodate his kids. So I just wanted to clarify the reason why they were invited here, and the reason why we went there is they were presented that prestigious award by the military for recognizing what they do for the spouses while the military member is deployed. And they have done above and beyond in accommodating the unknown of tomorrow. And that's rare for some major nationwide global corporations, but for a great local small business like Palmer Industries that is not only trying to keep up with this market, but also expand, it speaks volumes. So that's why I wanted to invite Jeff and Peter here representing Palmer Industries. And I have to say this as a side note, that's how I got involved. But in the resolution, it says, and I have to do this, in the resolution, it says it's a Ward 3 business, as I was under the impression it was. It's literally on the line, and I must concede it's a Ward 2 business, a neighboring Ward 3. So you have to drive through my ward to get to work, so I'll take it. So with that said, I also have something I'd like to present to you on behalf of the Warwick City Council, the council president, and the members. A certification of welcoming your company and wishing you the absolute best on your expansion and your employment of even more citizens of the state of Rhode Island, the city of Warwick. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. You have one more thing?
So we have the article from the Beacon and the picture we'd like to present to the mayor. Picture of our staff and everybody who was involved and with the American flag in the background. This is a really nice article and picture, and we'd like to present it to the mayor.
Sir, they'll gladly accept it on his
Thank
behalf.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you. Hey, thank you very much.
Thank you and congratulations, and thank you for the great work. Next on the agenda is executive session of the City Council pertinent to RI General Laws 42-46-5A2. This public body will convene an executive session regarding pending litigation, Cody versus Travis, case number 123-CV-00346. Councilman McElroy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Warwick City Council convene into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42-46-5A2 regarding pending litigation, Cody v. Travis et al., case number 1-23-CV-00346.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Ricks. The clerk will call the roll to move into executive session.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lassa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Seven yes.
Thank you. We will now move into executive session.
Everyone.
Good evening, everyone. We are back in the full council meeting. Solicitor Walsh.
The Warwick City Council convened into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42-46-5A2 regarding pending litigation, Cody v. Travis et al., case number 1-23-CV-00036. There were two votes taken, one of which was a motion to reconvene into executive session.
I'm looking for a motion to seal the minutes. Councilman Foley, will we make that motion?
Yes.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action to seal the minutes from the executive session. Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lazo?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Seven yes to seal the minutes.
So ordered, the minutes of tonight's meeting are sealed. Executive session minutes are sealed. Next up on the agenda is general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I'm sure all the kids know by now, but there'll be a half day of school tomorrow due to the heat. So please check with your local school on dismissal time. The other announcement that I have is at the next city council meeting on 9/18, the council will be meeting with an item that we can discuss and a possible vote on whether to release the bond to build the new schools. So we want to make everybody aware of that meeting, which will be on a regularly scheduled meeting, September 18th, here at the city council meetings. Are there any other items under general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to let everyone know, this just came to my attention today from a constituent, that on September 12th at 6 p.m. here in the Sawtooth Building, there is a Warwick Harbor Management Commission public workshop. And if you recall, we spent a lot of time on the harbor management plan recently. One of the items was for scheduling a workshop for the public. I'm hoping that this gets put on, if it isn't already on, gets put on the city website as well as the city calendar. Well, not so much city calendar, but soon. So just wanted to make everyone aware of it. September 12th, 6 p.m. at the Sawtooth Building. As you recall, there were a lot of people here who have a lot of interest in what is taking place with our 39 miles of shoreline. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Foley.
This Friday, the wall, the Vietnam Wall, is making a reappearance in Warwick at Rocky Point. There's the opening ceremony, and then I believe it's there for the week. So I just wanted to make people aware of that.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. 10 years ago today, the military lounge at TF Green Airport opened. And next week on Wednesday, I wish to extend an invite to all citizens and to my colleagues here at the Rhode Island Airport Corporation at TF Green Airport. We're going to have a 10-year celebration. We're also going to dedicate our welcome room to Nicholas Cardi Jr. So to celebrate 10 years, the lounge was completely rehabbed. Cardi's Furniture donated additional furniture. And I'm proud to say we've had well over 60,000 visitors. That's sign-ins of active duty. We're one of the only military lounges that welcomes veterans and their families. So in the last 10 years, it would take away just under a year of a pandemic, unfortunately. But the last 10 years, we were at one point, Mr. President, to my colleagues and the citizens, the city of Warwick, the state of Rhode Island, and TF Green Airport was the third most military movement airport in the country. If you were to rate all the airports that had military moving through, we were number three in the country. And so we did our job. We've done it well. And please, I welcome everyone. 10 a.m. September 13th at the Brennan Conference Room. And then that'll lead into the military lounge. And come celebrate 10 years of 100% volunteer service. That's 100% Rhode Island. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Congratulations. Anything else under general communications? Okay. Next up is executive communications. There are none. A is the acceptance of the minutes held on August 21st. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action on acceptance of the minutes.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any abstentions? Any vote against? Okay. Next up is number one, announcements of appointments. There are none. Number two is appointments requiring confirmation. First up is the Historic District Commission Committee Report Appointments.
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee has recommended favorable action for Gary Feltus to the Historical District Commission. And I would recommend favorable action.
Thank you, and second by Councilwoman Travis. And there's an amendment just for the agenda, correct? Is there any objections to the amendment? We are just replacing the vice of Barry O'Brien. It should read Carol Pratt. Is there any objections to that? Okay, hearing none, so ordered. Okay, so Councilman, if you could move this for Councilman Lattiser, if you can move this for Councilman Sinapi as amended.
On behalf of Councilman Sinapi, I would move favorable action on Gary Feltus as amended.
Second by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Howe. Any questions or comments that were not mentioned earlier this evening? I just have one quick one. I'd just like to thank Carol Pratt for her long-term service on the Historic District Commission. I know that she served on that for a long time. So thank you, Mrs. Pratt. The clerk will call the roll. Oh, wait, on the next one. I'm sorry. The next one is Land Trust Commission Committee Report Appointments.
The committee recommended favorable action on Elizabeth Colt to the Land Trust Commission.
Okay. I apologize, Councilman Lattiser. We do these individually. So we have moved and second as amended the appointment to the Historic District Commission. So a yes vote is for favorable action to the Historic District Commission. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Thank you. The appointment passes. Now we move to the Land Trust Committee Report Appointments.
The committee recommends favorable action on Elizabeth Colt to the Land Trust Commission.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Ricks, and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on this appointment that were not asked earlier this evening? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Seven yes appointment passes.
Thank you. The appointment passes. Moving now to number three is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 96-23, resolution relative to bids. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action on PCR 96-23.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2024-091, bid 2024-125, 2024-124, bid 2024-170, bid 2024-147, 2024-167, 2024-127, 2024-146, 2024-133, 2024-134, 2024-027, 2024-171, 2024-168, 2024-172, 2024-166, 2024-174, 2024-164, 2024-163. That concludes the bid packet, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the bid packets that were not asked earlier this evening in Finance Committee? Okay, hearing none, we'll go to the number two on PCR 97-23, a resolution relative to claims. Committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action on PCR 97-23.
Second by Councilman Howe. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
We have two claims, one for Heather Kendra. Recommend favorable in the amount of $300. And the other one is Sharon Lovett in the amount of $240.54.
Okay, thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Public Safety Committee? Okay, hearing none, the consent calendar has been moved and second. The clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Seven yes, consent passes.
Thank you. The consent calendar passes. I believe one item has been removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe?
Yes, Mr. President. Favorable action was recommended on PCR 98-23, formerly bid 2024-051.
This is, you're going to move this favorable with an amendment to add 443 Technologies as a vendor, correct?
Correct. We recommend it favorable with amendment.
Okay. Can I get a second to that, Councilman Foley? Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Per request of the Director of ITT, we added another bid. It did not change the overall award nor the amount. 443 Technologies for Research Drive, Suite 402, Shelton, Connecticut, 06484.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments on that amendment? Okay. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Bowley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes to amend.
I'm looking for a favorable as amended. Councilman Howe.
Move PCR 98-23 favorable as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, favorable as amended.
Thank you. Next up is new business. First up is PCO 19-23 committee report ordinance. I think that was Councilman McElroy.
Favorable action, Mr. President.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on PCO 19-23 that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, first passage.
Thank you, first passage. Next is PCR 95-23, committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Move favorable action on PCR 95-23, resolution in regards to erecting stop signs at the intersection of Tyler and Jefferson Street to create a four-way stop.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in Public Safety Committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, motion passes.
Thank you. Next up, we're moving to an item under unanimous consent, PCO 18-23, an ordinance regulating the smoking or vaporizing of cannabis. This is docketed as unanimous consent. So the first question is there any objections from members of the council to hear this under unanimous consent at this time, PCO 18-23? Is there any objections? Seeing none, we will now take up a PCO 18-23 committee report. This was not in committee, but I believe Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I respectfully request favorable action on second passage.
Thank you. Do we have a second on that? Second by Councilman McElroy. Any questions or comments from members of the council? And this was also seconded by Councilman Lattiser and Councilwoman Travis. This was not in committee, so are there any questions from members of the members of the public on PCO 18-23, an ordinance regulating the smoking or vaporizing of cannabis? This is for second passage. Are there any questions or comments from members of the public? Okay. Councilman Lattiser.
No questions, Mr. President. Just a request from the sponsor to sign on as a co-sponsor.
Councilman Howe,
you Thank you, that? Mr. President. Yes, thank you, Councilman.
Councilwoman Travis was lovely to be recognized, and Councilman Foley. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action for second passage on PCO 18-23.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
7 yes, second passage.
Thank you. Councilman Foley, anything to docket on unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4. Ward 4. Anything to docket?
Unanimous consent.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
And Ward 7 passes. Councilwoman Travis. All those in favor of moving to the docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. Ward 1, anything to docket this evening?
Pass.
Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Yes, Mr. President, I ask that you come back to me at the end. Thank you.
Okay. Ward 4.
Pass.
Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6. I have two items to docket, and I will be looking for co-sponsors. The first is a resolution relative to issuing the school bonds for the new high school bonds. I'm looking for co-sponsors for that. Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy. Okay. Finance. My second item that I have to docket this evening is a resolution relative to school appropriations. Finance as well. And Councilman Howe, you wanted the last say?
Mr. President, I'm going to pass for now. Thank you.
Okay. We are adjourned. We will see everybody here on the 18th. Have a good evening.